ready to begin the podcast?
I am! Damn you!
Welcome to Crappy Friends, the podcast that discusses female friendships. The good, the bad, the ugly.
Girl power defeating bitchery since 2018.
I'm New York Times bestselling author Kristen Higgins.
And I'm USA Today bestselling author Joss Day.
And we're best friends. And I never try to trick you.
You do.
No, I do not. I just look at you when I'm talking because I know you'll start laughing.
That is the trick. That is the trick.
Oh, dear. Joss, I am going to the Cape again. Mm-hmm. But this time to do no work, to just work on my book. Like house repair, painting, screwing in of magnets.
You guys are doing a big renovation sort of thing.
Oh my God, yeah. We're doing it ourselves, which means like, Kristen, can you go to the hardware store and get stuff? Kristen, like, why don't you go sweep the lawn? Because, you know, just get out of the way. You know? But house is looking really good. Can't wait for you to come up.
It looks so different. I'm excited to see it. Does it really?
Yeah. Hmm. Really different. Mm. Yeah. I'm going to buy a chair. I'm good at buying things.
So am I.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going to buy a new chair for that horrible recliner that feels like you're at the dentist because it tips you so far.
Yes, you are practically laying. In fact, I went to the dentist a couple days ago.
Did it remind you of the Cape?
No, I wish it had. I mean, I'm not a dentist person. I know you are,
yeah, but
no,
I need to be, medicated to go.
Yeah, I know, you do. You have, major issues surrounding it, but I was, gripping the chair. I just didn't want to be there, but whatever.
I broke the chair.
Did you?
I ripped the arm off the chair.
Really?
Yeah.
And it's not like I take a long time because I'm, crazy with the flossing because I don't want to be there forever,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Just, get it out.
But
it over
still,
with.
Even there, I'm just... Yeah, whatever.
I feel so bad for the hygienist because I have headphones and I'm like, I'm going to close my eyes and not talk to you.
Right.
And I'll try to keep my mouth open, you know.
Right.
But I lay there with the headphones and gripping the arms so hard that I broke the chair and also tears leaking out.
Oh.
You know, and I'm just, it's a phobia. Sorry. And I just feel so bad for them because this is their job and they do it well and they're nice people, you know.
Yeah, yeah. My hygienist was super, super nice. She was really... a mom's mom.
Yeah.
She carried face paints in her purse.
Oh.
She's that type of mom.
Yeah.
And she told me all about her daughter, who's in middle school, who did something a little stupid and, you know, had to have a meeting with the parents and the principal. And now, you know, her friends who were her friends are not her friends anymore. So she's struggling with that.
Yeah.
This is brand new middle school, just started sixth grade.
Yeah.
Just started, so there's that issue.
Well, and that is a great segue.
Is it not?
Yeah. To our letter this week, and we are calling this episode When Animals Attack. By animals, we mean adolescent girls.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Morning, Joss and Kristen. Oh, good evening.
Yes.
Good evening here. The two situations that I am going to lay out are both in the past, but I have never been certain that they were dealt with in the right way, and I would like your take on both of them. They kind of hang together. I went to boarding school at a very young age. It was a small co-ed boarding school in a rural area, and there were only about 30 girls and the same number of boys. The school was a primary school and only had kids up to 13 or 14 years old. I had an older sister who was also in the boarding house. We often had children sent to board at the school from big cities when the family was going through some issues, as it was a safe environment and well thought of. A young girl, Myrtle,
not her real name,
was sent by her family to the school for the last year of primary school because the parents were going through a rather messy divorce. Myrtle was savvy and way more sophisticated than the country bumpkins we all were, and she was manipulative and conniving, a clever bully. She very soon established herself as a leader amongst the girls and stamped her authority on the group.
Mm.
She was able to alienate a girl from the group on whim, generally picking the most prominent girl or the one who had previously held some sort of influence or authority over the other girls, someone who could undermine her own authority. She was one of my sister's peers and was more influential among that age group. As a younger girl, I was sucked in, but only peripherally. She would choose a person and have the others in the group alienate and ostracize that person and pretty much make their lives a living hell. She would work her way through the group one by one and would make jokes at the target's expense, belittle them, and keep them isolated from the others in the group. The collective group were scared of her and would not want to be the next target, so would toe her line, and if they did not actively persecute the outsider, they certainly never stood up for her.
Hmm.
That's very familiar, yeah. Right? We only saw our parents once every 3 or 4 weeks, and the housemistresses never actually witnessed the bullying, but were probably aware of it to some degree. We pretty much endured this until Murder left the school at the year end. Our parents were aware of the problem, but it was difficult for them to actively be able to do something about it, although they met with the staff of the school and made them aware of the issues. The second case was my daughter at about 10 years old. She was young for her class. There was a girl who had failed a year and was old for the class. She was 12. She lived just around the corner from us and was friendly with my daughter in the home environment. She came from a single-parent home, and her mother was one of those women who judged her self-worth by whether there was a man on her arm. This young girl, Violet, not her real name, would rely on my daughter to be her friend at home until there were others around, when she would start to belittle her, make fun of her, and gossip about her behind her back. At school, she would have nothing to do with my daughter and spoke unkindly about her and alienated her from her group of girls. 15 years later, my daughter is a strong, independent, beautiful woman, but at the time she was a little podge and insecure, and possibly a little immature for her class. She was desperately unhappy, and we saw her personality change before our eyes.
Mm.
Clearly, both Myrtle and Violet had self-esteem issues and came from unstable and unhappy home environments. What would your advice be to both the parents of the victim and the victim themselves, particularly in the light of the fact that these were perceived to be friends, friends who held undue influence over a group of girls and made life hell for a particular person at a particular time? In the first case, there were no other girls for my sister to be friendly with. The group was too small. In my daughter's case, at home, the group of possible girls to be friends with was small, but at school it was larger, but still not very big. They both had limited options. I hope never to be in either situation again, but would be interested to know what you think of possible courses of action. Regards, Mama.
Yeah. That's a really tough issue. I'm going to be honest with you. I've never been bullied, thankfully.
God bless.
I know.
I'm so glad to hear that.
I, too, went to a boarding school, but I was... popular, yep. In a way, just because, not that I was everyone's friends, but that I could flip from clique to clique,
yeah.
And everyone accepted me.
Yeah.
So I could go from the jocks to the brains, and we all had a great time.
Yeah.
So I was never bullied, and I never bullied anyone. Yeah.
I totally believe that.
I never did that to anyone. So I thought to myself when I read this letter, I don't have a lot to add. So I decided to do some research, which I'll relay, but I'm hoping that you'll have more to add, because you're a mom, and you have daughter and son, mm-hmm. And know what they might have gone through, particularly at that age.
Yeah.
So I did some research and came up with some stuff from the great Carolyn Hacks, who is my favorite advice columnist. Mm-hmm. She writes for the Washington Post, if anyone's interested.
Also, my brother once dated her sister.
Which makes him fabulous for that reason
it
alone.
It doesn't.
I'm
no,
sorry.
It's horrible. But all anyway.
Right. In any case. So Carolyn Hacks, there was an issue where that came up in a column of hers. And she talked to the mom about role-playing with her daughter and practice how the daughter could approach the peers by being ingratiating herself or by tempering her own behavior to, you know, meld with that group a bit more, how to extract herself from the encounters that are going wrong. So role play doing that with the daughter, that's one of the bits of advice that Carolyn Hacks gave. The other one was try to find like a social skills group or a summer camp that prioritizes teaching social skills. And you can ask a school counselor,
mm-hmm.
Where you might find something like that. And the one that I really liked was to set your child up for success. So if your child is really artsy, send her to an artsy summer camp. So maybe she's at school and has this horrible time, but when she goes to this art summer camp,
yeah.
She's a star, right?
Yeah.
And maybe she's a techie, this daughter of yours. Same thing. Just
yeah.
give her a moment to shine,
right.
Which I thought was lovely.
And it doesn't have to be like a special camp.
Right.
It might not be in the budget or something, but
yeah.
To make room for your kid to shine.
Yeah,
wherever
I love
it
that.
Is. So, you know, if you say, hey, you know what would be fun this weekend? If we go to the lumber yard and
right.
Get some wood so you can make another fabulous birdhouse.
Right.
You know, in fact, I'm fondly recalling the Junie B. Jones children's book series that my children loved. And there's an episode where they're very slim
mm-hmm.
novels. A book where Junie B. is not invited to a birthday party.
Mm-hmm.
And she's crushed. And she loves plumbing. Mm-hmm. And so her grandfather takes her to, he says, you know what we're going to do today? We're going to go to the plumbing store and we're going to fix that toilet. And she's so excited. She's like, are you serious, Grandpa? You know, and she's so thrilled. And so, you know, you can't always save your kids from these moments. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my daughter recently confided that she was bullied on the school bus.
Oh, no.
And she never told us at the time because, of course, I would have been on there. But I do remember her telling me that, like, these two boys would make fun of her clothes. She was always very well-dressed. Mm-hmm. You know, she's called the princess for a reason. She's mm-hmm. the first grandchild on both sides, mm. first girl. She had six other, I had friends who had a combination of six girls between them. So my daughter had so many clothes, mm-hmm. you know, and really nice clothes. Thank you, Pam and Heidi. but I said, you know what you could say when Jack is commenting on your outfit, say, you know, Jack, it's great that you're interested in women's fashion and don't be ashamed of that. Because so many of the great designers of women's clothes are gay men.
Yes.
And she said, that's a great line, mm-hmm. and I'll never be able to say it.
No. Oh.
You know, and not to say that, like, to imply, like, Jack was gay, but just, like, yeah. you know, you're so interested in fashion.
Right.
Maybe you want to be a designer.
Right.
And that would shut him up.
Yeah.
Because he was, like, a football jock.
Right.
Like the quintessential bully.
Yeah.
Kind of dumb and,
right.
you know. And it's true. Most of the great designers of women's fashion are gay men. Mm-hmm. And that he wouldn't have a response to that. But she just knew, like, she was shy, mm-hmm. she was quiet, and rather than stand up for herself, she would rather take it. Mm-hmm. And just recently, one of my godchildren, one of my many godchildren, had a kind of experience where the mean girl is in your friend circle, mm-hmm. but you can't stand her, and you fear her power. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be a sycophant, right? Mm-hmm. And suck up to her. You don't want to be a doormat. You don't want to be a bully. But your mode is to protect yourself because she can make your life a living hell, mm-hmm. like the mama says in this letter.
Yeah,
her sister and her daughter had their lives, you know, wrecked mm-hmm. by this one mean girl mm-hmm. who could only feel good about herself by taking others down. And the example that that came from my goddaughter was the mean girl came to her house and said, like, something like, oh, wow, I can't believe your hair is longer than mine. Well, at least I'm still prettier.
Wow.
Yeah.
Where kids learn this stuff? Right.
Well, I mean, they learn it from their parents.
Wow.
And, you know, what do you say to that?
Yeah.
Especially in the moment, especially when you're 14 or 15 years old.
Right.
Or 30.
You yes, know?
Like,
absolutely.
You're just not prepared for that kind of meanness. And my suggestion was to say something like, we like ourselves, don't we?
Yeah.
You know, and kind of be sarcastic and point that out. And,
right.
And my other suggestion was just to be frank.
Yeah.
And kind and, like, emotionally more intelligent and mm-hmm. say, hey, you know, it's great that you have self-confidence mm-hmm. and you are quite pretty, mm-hmm. but when you have to make yourself feel good at the expense of others, it's not self-confidence.
Right.
It's being cruel.
Right.
And you don't want to be that girl.
Right.
That's asking a 15-year-old girl a lot.
Yes. It really is.
You know, you know, while that might have some kind of effect on the mean girl to be called out gently and kindly on being a mean girl, chances are that you're not going to have the self-awareness or preparation or confidence to be able to say that. And chances are that the mean girl will be like, well, I am the prettiest, right. so screw you, you know?
Right, right.
You know, you're so vulnerable at that time to your friends.
Yeah.
And it's so hard to speak out and have the right words at the right time. And you want to be like that badass who fears nothing.
Right.
But that's not realistic.
No.
You know, it's much more realistic to think, I just don't want it to be me.
Yeah.
That's in her gun sights, you know? And, I mean, bullying as in teenagers in school, it's become more and more dangerous these days.
Yeah,
you know, it might be like, I hope she doesn't beat me up on the parking lot. Maybe I hope she doesn't bring her AR-15 to school.
How about that? Or I did read an article where one child was killed by his bully.
Yeah.
He was in middle school.
Or they killed, the bullied kids might kill themselves.
Unbelievable.
You know? So it is definitely important for the parent,
right.
I think, to speak up. And, you know, if I were in your shoes, Mama, when that mean girl was nice at home,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, like when she maybe needed a friend more, I would have probably talked to her directly.
Yeah.
And kindly and firmly, but definitely as an adult. Like, right. You are the adult in the room and said, hey, Violet, you're really hurting Grace's feelings by alienating her at school.
Yeah.
And you know, she's 2 years younger than you. I know you have your own issues to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people react to stress by lashing out at others, but I'm here for you.
Mm-hmm.
If you ever need to talk, and I'm asking you respectfully to be kinder to my daughter.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm aware of it. I see you. I'm being compassionate to you, and it needs to stop.
Right. And I think, too, because bullying is escalated these days to something that I can't even imagine, you know, yeah. And because people do take it more seriously, it's more aware, it's more in the public
conversation.
I think you could go to a school counselor and say, look, I'm very worried about this child. This is our experience that we're having with my daughter, but perhaps something else is going on in her life that maybe needs a bit more attention from you guys.
Yeah.
So I think you could do that.
Yeah, I mean, that's also my recommendations, not to hope that this is harmless.
Yeah.
Or this is just mean girl stuff that we all suffer through, because we don't have that luxury anymore.
Right.
You know, when kids are bullied online constantly,
right.
When, you know, it's not just, I hate having to ride the school bus with Jack.
Right.
It's, you know, I can't get away from him because he's on my phone. He's, you know, and that kind of thing. So it's
cyberbullying. That's the craziest thing.
Absolutely. Go to the principal.
Yeah.
And even consider moving your kid to another school or homeschooling her.
Yeah.
You know, I have a lot of respect for parents who do that.
Mm-hmm.
If that's what needs to be done, that's what needs to be done.
Right.
They're very vulnerable years, and we live in difficult times. And then I also thought about talking to the bully's parents.
I thought that too.
And in that case, like, it's a very delicate issue.
Agreed.
Where I would probably invite the mom or dad over with you and your husband if you're married, mm-hmm. or like woman to woman kind of thing. Maybe over for coffee and cookies and say, look, there's been some difficulties between our daughters. Grace looks up to Violet,
mm-hmm.
and Violet can be very nice to her, but at school it's a different story,
mm-hmm.
and it's taking a big toll on Grace. What do you think we can do mm-hmm. to make the situation better?
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking to her like, can we solve this issue? You're not saying, you know, your kid's a bitch.
Right.
Which, of course, she is.
Right, right.
You're not pointing fingers, you raised a monster. Because even if she is, and monsters are always raised, they're not born.
Sure.
Those horrible little attack dogs of teenagers, you know, they learn that behavior. So accusations aren't going to work, but maybe saying, look, there's a problem here, and, you know, can we address it?
Right.
At least those things would be checked off your box.
Right.
These are the things that I can do. Talk to my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Make that space for her to be great.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think we discussed this in another episode, Joss, where, you know, doing special things with your kids when it's your time on the weekends or after school, you know, making sure they know how loved they are, how much you appreciate their sense of humor or their woodworking abilities or, you know, the fact that they got an A on their spelling bee or learned to tie their shoes that day, you know, that if they know they're loved at home, they have that safe space.
Right.
And definitely limit the access of the outside world, you know, phone's off at 6 o'clock, you know, don't let that opportunity for the outside world to come in so that your home is a safe space.
Yeah.
You know, those are just my suggestions as a mom.
Mm-hmm.
And godmother and auntie, but I would not ever just let that be and say, like, well, that's how girls are at this age.
Yeah, you know? I think it's too dangerous to do that, especially now.
I
think, you know, back in the day, you know, you might have heard stories of people being bullied, and maybe it was something different, or maybe it wasn't. We have a dear friend, Anne Renwick, who was bullied when she was in high school because she's a smarty pants.
Yep.
Which she is. But I don't know, and I'm not saying this from any knowledge base, whether it escalated to the to the level that it is today. I feel like today's bullying is fraught with in so many ways where it could go wrong in so many bad ways.
And I think, you know, the 24/7 access to people.
I agree.
The ability to reach a broad audience through your Snapchat or Instagram account.
Right.
To make fun of people, to be horrible to people. And I mean, I wrote about this in Life and Other Inconveniences, and we actually talked about it in the Strand podcast.
Yeah, we did.
About, you know, that you, it's really hard to escape that stuff.
Right.
And it's really hard to have this vulnerable, often, you know, young for their age child, not be able to escape that.
Right.
And also, you know, the fact that you can go to the internet and Google how to kill myself.
Oh my God.
You know, that's, it's raised at a whole other level, as
it
you said.
It really
you know?
Has.
I mean, I was bullied in middle school.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, there's a very nice story to this, but I was bullied by a girl and she just, like, I was in her sights and I don't know why. I was no threat to her. She was smart. She was a great athlete. But she just hated me.
Mm-hmm.
And she would make fun of me if I got a question right. Uh-huh. She would trip me. She would knock books out of my hands. And I never told my parents. I mean, this was not an age. This was just like, well, she's mean, you know? So this went on for like a year and a half. And then we went to the same church. And I used to, her family used to sit in front of my family, and we always sit in the same pews, you know. And at the sign of peace, she'd turn around every week, and we'd say, "Peace be with you,
oh
also
gosh.
With you." And I would think, like, "Please let her mean it," you know.
Yeah.
And then one week in church, the priest announced, like, "Pray for this family," because the father died.
Right.
And the next week, they were back, and I said to her, like, screwed up all my courage. I said, "I'm sorry, your father died."
Mm-hmm.
And she never bullied me again.
Wow.
So, 40 years later, I write a blog about this, right? And one of our old classmates read it, called her.
Wow.
And said, "Kristen wrote a blog about you." And my then bully read it and wrote me the most beautiful apology.
That's amazing.
Saying that she said, "I honestly barely remember that time.
Mm.
I believe you. And I was just in so much pain."
Sure.
"Over my dad. He was my whole world, and he was in the hospital for such a long time, but I never thought he would die.
Mm.
And please forgive me. I'm so sorry." And it was like so heartfelt and beautiful.
Yeah.
And I said, "Oh, I forgave you that day in church."
Yeah.
Like, I immediately understood that you were hurt, and so you were hurting someone else. So there's that saying, hurt people hurt.
Right.
Which is why I recommend that if you see a bully, you know, reach out with kindness. You're the grown up.
Right.
You know? And try to understand that this doesn't come in a vacuum.
No. It always stems from something, right?
Yeah. But my bully story had a really beautiful ending in that we're going to try to get together for lunch sometime.
Oh, lovely.
And it's totally unnecessary, but it was so good to hear from her.
Yeah.
I wrote back immediately and I said, I'm so happy that you wrote to me.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And, you know, being able to apologize when you screwed up, that is a life skill. And she really learned it.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate it. It was so profound and so meaningful. So something ugly turned into something great.
That's lovely.
Yeah. Thanks for listening to Crappy Friends. Don't forget to subscribe to Crappy Friends and consider leaving us a review. Email us your friend stories at theladies@crappyfriends.net. I'm Kristen Higgins.
And I'm Just A.
And we're best friends.
Forever.